John's Gospel, a very familiar portion of Scripture. We've been singing this morning about the shepherd and his sheep. Now we're going to read about the shepherd and the sheep. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we commence our reading at verse 1. The words of our Savior. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. If you're not a Christian, look to the Lamb who taketh away the sin of the world. This part of our worship we're going to have. A pleasure to come to Coleraine and enjoy fellowship together. I've often said the fall is impressed by the seasons of prayer prior to the service, and this morning was no exception. We were conscious of the Lord's presence with us at our prayer meeting. Trust the Lord will bless us in our morning service. And again, the evening service. We trust you'll be able to come back to the evening service and bring some others with you. We're going to continue worshiping with, we're going to worship now with our offering, and we're going to sing the words of hymn 439. That's page 353, but the hymn 439. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. 439. Remain seated, please.
Follow in Jesus every day.
by day, who can harm me when Jesus leads the way? A darkness or sunshine, whatever betone, the shepherd is my all in all. Pastures abundant doth his love confide. Ever at my side, a goodness and mercy follow on my track. And nothing can I lack, following Jesus every day by day. When Jesus leads the way, the darkness or sunshine, whatever befall. We're going to stand together and sing verse 3, and we'll make that the final verse. When I would wander from the path astray, then he will draw me back into the way. This valley I need hear no will, for he, my shepherd, will be with me still. Following Jesus every day by day, and nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. A darkness or sunshine, my all in all. Remain standing for prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus, Thy beloved Son, is the Shepherd. And we thank Thee, the Shepherd. We would invite you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We want you to notice in these verses that the Apostle Peter is speaking about the sheep and the shepherd. And you will notice as he speaks about the sheep and the shepherd that he tells us that the sheep are living in dangerous times. There's a wolf, there's a lion, there's those who would attack the sheep. So interesting to note that the Scripture uses this metaphor for the people of God. The people are like sheep, and the church is like a flock. And of course, there's the great shepherd, but there's the under-shepherd, the pastor, the minister, and he is looked upon as the shepherd. Let's read the first four verses together, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. May the Lord bless the reading of the Scriptures to us. Very quickly, first of all, I want you today to view yourself as a sheep. This is the picture the Scripture gives to us. David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." We were singing in the opening psalm there that He leads us. He has taken us for His sheep. And so we can think of ourselves as sheep. And there are characteristics we need to keep in mind when we think about sheep. Sheep are of themselves wayward. That's something about the sheep. They will wander, they will go astray. And so do men and women. You'll notice that Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 here at verse 25. 1 Peter 2:25, and he says, For ye were as sheep going astray. That's how we were. We were sheep going astray. Isaiah tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You see, sheep are prone to wander. There's the waywardness of the sheep. The sheep are wayward. That's why we need the shepherd. That's why we need the sheepfold. That's why we're brought into the flock of God. Because there's that waywardness about sheep. But sheep are not only wayward, sheep are weak. They're not like any other animal. I'm sure there are farmers here this morning, and you may not be a farmer, but you may know that when a sheep falls and gets over onto its back, it can't get up of itself. It will die. Sheep are weak. You can think of the horse. The horse can run. The mule can kick. The dog can bite. The cat can scratch. But sheep are not able to protect themselves. And so the sheep need a sheepfold. Have you ever wondered how gracious God has been to you? That He saved you and He brought you to this house. Put you into this particular sheepfold because of our weakness, because of our waywardness. But remember all the time while the sheep are wayward and while the sheep are weak, that the sheep are worth something. The sheep are valuable. That's why the farmer keeps sheep. I have a friend and he has hundreds of sheep. Not that he has any great love for sheep, but they're profitable. And he can sell the wool and he sells the lambs and that's how he makes his living. And when you think of that in the spiritual sense, how precious we are to the shepherd. Oh, brother and sister, how we want to be encouraged this morning that the sheep are worth something. We are precious to the shepherd. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get cast down. The devil comes to us, the troubles of life, and we think we're not worth very much. My dear friends, it took the same blood to save you as it did to save the Apostle Paul. We are worth something. We are precious to the shepherd. But just before we go on, maybe I ought to pause there. Because as I look upon the congregation this morning, I could be looking upon men and women and boys and girls who as yet are not in the flock, as yet who are not in the sheepfold. They are wayward. They are weak. But as yet they haven't entered in. How can you get into the fold? Well, we read this morning in John chapter 10 that we enter in by the door. The Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Let me say to you today without the slightest hesitation, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You must be in the sheepfold. And oh, how there's blessing for us in the sheepfold. It's dangers outside the sheepfold. It's dangerous enough in the sheepfold, but how dangerous it is if we're not in the sheepfold. May we be those who have entered in by the door. Now, the burden of my message this morning is not the sheep. And that's important because we've already said you are special, you are precious to the shepherd. But my burden this morning, on burden and the message, and where we want to labor, is not the great shepherd, but the under-shepherd. That's what we've been reading about in 1 Peter chapter 5. And what I want you to do for me is come back again tonight, because I'm going to talk to you this morning about the role of the minister. You'll enjoy this. I'm preaching to myself. You'll be able to sit back there and enjoy it, won't you? And I want to talk to you this morning, as God gives us help, on the role of the pastor, the role of the minister, the role of the under-shepherd. And then we want to think tonight about the requirements. What are the biblical requirements for the under-shepherd? And I want to tell you that I had great difficulty with this message because I felt it was a message that was not my business to bring. I felt this was a message for your inter-moderator. But I felt the Lord, as the week progressed and we got nearer the time, that we should bring this message to you. In order that God's people will have guidance as you pray. This pulpit has been vacant now for approximately a year or so, maybe even a little longer, but how you need an under-shepherd. And we're going to see the need for him in a moment. But I'm praying as I speak to you this morning that the Lord will lay it on your heart that you might know how to pray effectively, that you will know how to pray, and that the Lord will direct you to the man of his choosing. May the Lord give us help. And so we're talking to you about the role of the minister, the role of the pastor. And there are three words that I want you to underline and mark in 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to underline the word elder. If we are going to understand the role of the pastor, you must note these words. The first word is elder. That's the office. And then the next word we want you to underline is in verse 2, the word feed. Now the word feed shows to us something of his role. And then the word oversight. So in verse 1 you have the word elder. In verse 2 you have the word feed. And in verse 2 you have the word oversight. And the word elder, the word overseer, the word bishop are interchangeable in Scripture, but they're all for the one office. Now, as we think about the pastor, the man that God will lead you and guide you to, number one, he will be a man of maturity. Now, I'm not thinking about age when we say that, because a man could be 50 years of age and not have the sense and the wisdom of a man of 25. You remember the Apostle Paul writing to the young minister. Timothy was a young minister. And we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we read there at verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer." Did you notice that? In 1 Peter chapter 4, the pastor was an example to the flock. And so we find Paul in agreement with Peter, and he's saying, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So we're looking at someone who is mature, mature in the faith. He has spiritual maturity. He is an elder. So it's not necessarily speaking about his age, but it's speaking about his office. And very quickly, you will notice there, if you have your Bible still open at Timothy, that he goes on to tell us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications of the elder, the teaching elder, the qualifications of the ruler elder. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." A bishop, an elder, an overseer, remember they're the same word for the same, different words for the same office. Then, a bishop then must be blameless and the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, but one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Notice here again, the thought is of wisdom, the thought is of maturity, the thought is of experience. Not a novice, one who's experienced. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Notice he must have a good testimony. Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without. He'll need to have a good report in the congregation, but those in the district. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So we're noticing here a man of maturity. But not only will be a man of maturity, he will be a man of ministry. We notice there he's one that will teach, one who will proclaim the word. You see, his task, as we're going to see just in a moment, is one where he'll be feeding the flock. So as you pray and look to the Lord to lead you and guide you to a man of his choosing, you're praying for a man of maturity. And I emphasize again, not necessary as age, but a man of wisdom. A man who has proved himself. A man who has the confidence, who has been blessed of the Lord. A man of spiritual maturity. He's a man of ministry. He'll be proclaiming the word. He's an elder. And so he will come to you in the will of the Lord, and he will take that maturity and that ministry to do what? To feed the flock. Now here we come to the duty of the pastor. And the duty of the pastor, beloved, is threefold. You'll notice, first of all, he has to guard the flock. Remember we said in our introduction, the sheep are wayward. They need guarded. And let me give you a reference that do well for all of us to pray about and keep in mind. Acts chapter 20. And we have there the Apostle Paul. He has sent for the elders of Miletus that met him. And he says in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Notice again, a different word, but the same office. To feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Notice there clearly that he has to feed the flock. Why? Because they need guarded. Verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." He has to guard the flock. Now listen, beloved. This is a day and age when the roaring lion is going about. He seeks to discourage the flock. And all the time he wants to divide the flock in order that he might devour the flock. We rejoice we have a great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is his will that every church have an under-shepherd, that they have a pastor. And he needs to be a man of maturity, a man of ministry, who will feed the flock. And as he feeds the flock, he will be guarding the flock. You see, there are those that would steal the sheep. There are those that would fleece the flock. There are those that would lead the sheep astray. So the pastor must be vigilant. He must watch over the flock. And he will. His task is to guard the sheep. I often reflected on those words of the Apostle Paul, where he tells us what a Christian, Colossians 1, he tells a Christian is one that's indwelt by Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now listen to this word, Colossians 1:28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." Notice, "Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." You see, the pastor must guard the flock. You can see it right away. He has a protective role. Men and women, we never lived in a day and age as this. Families are in trouble. Families are been tested and tried. In our own church back home in Tandragee, a young man, last Friday night, just a week ago, took his own life, 14 years of age, up through our Sunday school, through our youth fellowship. I stood with his mother last Sunday afternoon in our home as we looked upon that casket, a young man almost 6 foot tall, out into eternity. Why? Oh, why? Do you see the need for a pastor to watch over the flock? We need families that are united in Christ. We need families who are praying together. We need a church that has a love and concern for our young people. There are many out there who would lead our young people astray. There are many problems. There are many difficulties. And so all of us, we need to be supporting the minister of the session in order that our young people are reached and brought into the family and fold of God. The pastor, when he will come in the will of the Lord, he will be a man of maturity, a man of ministry, a man who will be feeding the flock. He will guard the flock. But you'll notice he'll not only guard the flock, he will guide the flock. He has to guide the sheep. Now, the Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." How are the sheep going to hear his voice? Of course they'll hear it in his word. But their sheep, oh, how I fear for them. They're wayward, they're worldly.
and they don't hear the shepherd. And they come to God's house on a Sunday morning. And God blesses the pastor and he gives them the word. And the pastor speaks on behalf of the Lord. And the sheep will hear his voice through the servant of the Lord. He needs to give leadership and guidance. You see, there are those who have the notion that the church is a democracy. Beloved, the church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. Jesus Christ is the sole head and only king of the church. We live in a day and age when some Christians think they can do what they like, go what they like, and say what they like, and there's no accountability. Oh, my dear friends, how we need to submit ourselves to the great shepherd. And as we do so, we will get direction under the under-shepherd. As he feeds the flock, he'll be guarding the flock. He will be guiding the flock. And then we want you to notice that he will grow the flock. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. When God brings to you the man of his choosing, it will not be his task to produce sheep. The sheep will produce themselves. Sheep that are healthy, that have been brought into the fold, that have been fed, will become healthy sheep, and they will see it their responsibility to go out and to witness. I was encouraged this morning in the announcements to hear that our young people are going out this afternoon to Port Ballantrae to witness. And those of you who are older and more mature, go with them and help them. And get men and women in under the sound of the gospel. You see, it is God's will that the sheep grow. And when they grow, they will be healthy and they will produce, and the flock here will increase under the shepherd that the Lord will give to you. You see, we're talking to you about his role. He's a man of maturity. He will be a man of ministry. Could I say to you that his role, and his role also, he'll be a man of management. He will be an overseer. We said the word bishop. Now, the word bishop doesn't mean some sort of super clergyman who would dictates and directs everyone else. You'll notice we read in our scripture, and I gave you the reference also in Timothy, that he will be an example to the flock. The church has overseers. And just turn to the book of Acts there for a moment. Because a church, a group of people meeting together, is not a church. There's no church unless there are elders. We have congregations that don't have elders. You have a church here over at Bush Mills. But the session of this church are their elders. And the elders oversee the work. And so you will notice here that it tells us in Acts chapter 14, first of all. Just show you quickly here, in passing. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. The church has elders. And then you'll notice chapter 15, verse 22. Chapter 15 and verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church. Notice them working together in harmony. You see, it is the teaching elders' role to feed the flock. Remember how the Lord Jesus said to Peter, feed the flock, feed my lambs. Each time, he told them three times. And so this man of maturity, this man of ministry, will be a man of management. He will be overseeing the work of God. You think of all the activities of your church here, your Sabbath school, your children's meetings, your youth fellowship, your outreach work. This will bring that wisdom and this maturity which he has to oversee the work. You see, God appoints deacons for the material well-being of the church. God ordains elders for the spiritual well-being of the church. And so the role of the pastor is one of maturity. It's one of ministry. It's one of management. Now, beloved, that's his role. And God will bring you this man in his will. And I pray that the church of God here in Coleraine will be blessed under the ministry of God's man. May not be the man that you particularly want. But he'll be the man that God has chosen and set aside, has put it in his heart already, a love for this church and for the work of God in this corner of the vineyard. Now that's the role of the pastor. But what about the responsibility of the sheep? You know, the sheep are not free of responsibility. You will notice, and I think just one chapter where we'll find it all together, is the Epistle to the Hebrews. Just turn back a few pages there if you're in Peter, or if you're in Acts, come forward. The last chapter of Hebrews, and you'll notice what it says here. Hebrews chapter 13. And you'll notice here how you are to respond to your pastor. Verse 1, he says, let brotherly love continue. There will be a spirit of harmony. There's the minister and the elders and the committee and the congregation all working together in brotherly love. Verse 17, there will be, you will note there that there will be, they're going to stand with the pastor. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. There's going to be stand with the pastor. They're going to salute the pastor. And then you will notice what he tells us in verse 17. Verse 17 he says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls. Have you ever thought of that? The minister here coming in the will of the Lord, God's man, has a burden for the people. He's the shepherd's heart. He loves the sheep. He loves the little lambs. He's weeping for them. He's caring for them. He's watching over their souls. He's guarding them. He's guiding them in order that he might present them perfect in Christ. Notice your responsibility is to stay with your pastor. You're to supplicate for him in verse 18. And then you will notice that you are to be in submission, verse 17. Obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Have you ever thought of that, brother and sister? Unsaved man, have you ever thought of it? Unconverted woman, have you ever thought about it? That the pastor here and the elders are watching for your precious soul, that it wouldn't be lost, that you would cross over the deadline and be lost and perish forever and ever. They watch for your souls. Oh, men and women, even today as our meeting comes to a close, we want to bring you to the cross and see Jesus, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, dying in your place. And how you need to have a saving faith in Christ. How terrible to go from a pre-Presbyterian pew to a lost eternity. To be lost, lost forever from a pre-Presbyterian church. Oh, I've seen some. And they were just at the gates of heaven. They were at the very door. They were so close like Judas they could have kissed the door and gone to a lost eternity. The pastor, you see, is the one who has that, the shepherd's heart. He's caring for the sheep. He's watching over them. You will notice it, brother and sister, that every pastor, every Christian, every elder will give an account to the great shepherd. Look at verse 17 again. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You notice, beloved, the shepherd has a role, the under-shepherd, but the sheep have a role. They have got to stand with the shepherd. They have got to supplicate with the shepherd. They will submit to the shepherd. Verse 24, they will salute the shepherd. They will salute the minister. They will respect him. Salute all them that have the rule over you. Brother and sister, that's the role of the pastor. That's the responsibility and the response of the sheep. Oh, I pray, as we have moved so quickly, that you've got sufficient that will help you to pray effectively, that God will lead you and guide you to the man of his choosing. And when he comes in the will of the Lord, that you will accept your responsibility, and God will bless the shepherd and the sheep together. Will you come back and join with us tonight as we return to these verses and talk to you about the requirement of the shepherd? We want to see tonight what will motivate the pastor, what will bring blessing to the church, to the whole flock of God. Thank you for your attention this morning, and God bless you. Our time is really